Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Now we've been looking at the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ for over a year and a half. We started in January of last year looking at Christ's parables. And we have almost another year to go before we'll finish all of Christ's parables. But does anybody remember the five C's by which we've been looking at the parables? We said when we look at a parable, we've got to pay attention to the context. What's the setting in which Jesus gives the parable? Then we have to look at the characters in the parable. Then we have to look at the content of the parable, not just who's in the parable, what are the figures, but also what do they do? How do these things come to be? And then we have to look and see if there's a conclusion to the parable. A lot of the parables don't have conclusions, but a couple of the early parables we looked at, like the parable of the soils, like the parable of the wheat and the tares, Jesus gives us in those two early parables conclusions to help us understand how to understand these parables. But then, lastly, the fifth C is we've got to pay attention to the consequences. We've got to look at what God has told us and say, what does that say to us today? Right here at Carrington Place Assisted Living Home. What does it say to us living today in the 21st century? Well, today we come to consider the parable of the pearl of great price. Last month we looked at this treasure found in the ground. Today we'll consider this valuable pearl that a merchant man found. But first, let's look at the context. Context is pretty obvious. Jesus has been talking about the kingdom in this whole chapter. He says in verse 24, the kingdom of heaven is likened to. 31, the kingdom of heaven is like to. Verse 33, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto. 44, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. 45, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. He's giving us these word pictures about the kingdom of heaven. But quite often, too often, people think when Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about something in heaven, like not on earth. But here, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven that's on earth. He's talking about the church. He's talking about God's people. Now, that's what he's talking about. He begins these parables in Matthew 13 with the parable of the sower. He describes himself and preachers of the gospel as those that preach the gospel like seed. And some people respond positively. Some don't. Some ignore the preached word. Some respond very positively, but before long, they're no longer interested in the Christ of the gospel they've heard. We saw also that even amongst fruit or seed that grows into fruit, some people bear 30-fold fruit, some 60, some 100. People don't grow the same speed, do they? Some bear a lot more fruit than others. And yet they're fruitful. They're Christians. They've come to know Jesus. But some bear more fruits than others. But then he deals with the parable of the wheat and the tares. He lets us know that even in the church, there will be those that look like the real thing. They look like Christians. They look like wheat. But they're really only substitutes. They're tares. And Jesus says, you can't get all them out of the church until Jesus returns. Then the angels will take them out. They'll be burned. They won't go to heaven with those that are the real wheat. But having dealt with that, he then deals with the parable of the seed that grows by itself. He says the church is like a seed that's put in the ground. Once the seed's put in the ground, the farmer can't do a lot. It's God that does the work. It's God that grows his church. It's not Paul, it's not Cephas, it's not Apollos, it's not preachers today that grow the church. Jesus and Jesus alone grows His church. We're also told that His church grows from something very small to something very big. It's like a mustard seed that doesn't just grow into a mustard bush, but grows into a mustard tree. It's miraculous how big the kingdom of heaven gets. He gives us that picture of the church today. But then He tells us as well that it's like a little leaven or a little yeast in a lump. You put a little yeast in there and you keep rolling out the dough, and eventually that yeast is in all the dough. So then when you bake it, all of it, right? It expands before you bake it, and the whole loaf expands. Not just one part of it, but all of it. Because the leaven's not in one part, or the yeast isn't in one part. He says that's the way the kingdom of heaven is. It grows imperceptibly. You can't even hardly see it growing. It's not on the front pages of your newspapers. It's not on the internet. It's not making a big splash, but the kingdom of heaven keeps growing. And then we're told last month, that the kingdom has great value. It's like a man who finds a valuable treasure, somebody's hidden savings in a field. And they're willing to get rid of everything they have, sell it all so they can buy that field, so they can have that treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we're also told a month ago, when we looked at that also we're told that the kingdom of heaven costs. We don't have to pay for it with our good works, but we have to be willing to give up that which we think is valuable so we can have that which is most valuable, Jesus Christ Himself. Well, today we come to the parable of the pearl of great price. It's a lot like the parable we looked at last week. It's about how valuable the kingdom of God is, how valuable Jesus Christ Himself is. Who are the characters in this parable? How many characters are there? Three. Who are the three? You got a merchant, right? You got a merchant man that's buying pearls. He must buy the pearl from somebody. We don't really hear about that person, right? But somebody has this goodly pearl that he wants. So there is that person there. And then you have the pearl itself, right? Kind of not really a character, but a symbol, right? A picture of something. Now, this merchant man is looking for precious, valuable things. He knows what he's doing. It's like a man who's buying diamonds, but he knows what diamonds are worth. You see, most men, they don't really know what diamonds are worth. And they may not give you a lot of money for a diamond that might be worth $1,000, billions of dollars. They might look at it and say, that's pretty ugly. I don't want that one. But this man knew. He was seeking. He was looking for things valuable. He was looking for pearls that were valuable. It's a picture of somebody looking for God. He's searching. He has come to recognize that to have a relationship with God is the most valuable thing he could have. But he hasn't found it. But he's looking. How about the pearl? We're told that this pearl is one pearl of great price. In other words, we're told this is the best pearl. This is the one pearl. This is the unique pearl. The most valuable pearl. This is a picture of Jesus Christ Himself and salvation and deliverance from sin that can be found in Jesus Christ through faith in Him. They're the real two primary characters in this parable. Now, what's the basic content? The third C. What's the content of this parable? Well, first you have a man searching for valuable things, for valuable pearls. He has some sense of what he's doing. He doesn't stumble upon the treasure like the man in the field. Remember, in that parable, it seems like a man's just digging in the field. He's either just doing his work as a tenant farmer, and as he's plowing, he sees something there in the dirt, he scratches around, and there's a jar. There's all kinds of money there. Somebody that owned this land long ago or somebody that was a tenant farmer in this land long ago placed their money there. And this man says, I've got to sell everything I have to buy this land. So that thing that's in the ground in my land, just like if you bought land today and you found out there was a gold mine underneath there, you found out there's oil there, right? Then you'd have rights to what's below the surface of the ground. So that's what this person was doing. But he was surprised. This guy's not surprised. He's looking. And he finds an extremely valuable pearl. And then you know what he does? He does what investors call divests himself. In other words, he's put money away in other things. He has other pearls. He's bought pearls at a good price. He's put them away. He's waiting for the right buyer to buy these pearls. It's like somebody that deals in antiques, right? They buy things up cheap. They may hold on to certain. They have a certain amount of investment, certain amount of capital. And that capital is apparently in different things. He's guarding himself. He doesn't have it all in one pearl. He doesn't sell one pearl to buy this pearl. He's going to sell everything else he has. Because he knows he's going to get the best deal on this pearl. That's the way it is with Jesus. As many things as we have to give up and turn from to come to Christ, like our own righteousness, like our sin, what a deal we get in Christ. Because we get all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Him. We don't lose when we come to Christ. So He's willing to divest Himself, sell everything, get rid of everything. Nothing's important to Him anymore now that He's seen this great pearl. In verse 44, this man who had found the treasure, it says of him that he went and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has. I believe we can understand that this merchant also had joy as he was selling everything. He wasn't crying, whining, and complaining, oh, I've got to give up this pearl, I've got to give up my Porsche, I've got to give up my boat. No, he was happy about the deal that he knew he could get in the gospel. What a great investment it was for him to be able to have the pearl of great price. No whining, no complaining. He joyfully went and gave everything up. And so he divests himself, gets rid of everything, gets all his money together, and he goes and buys the pearl. He knows he'll get a better return on investment in that pearl than anything else. And that's why he's willing to give up everything for that pearl. And that's the way it is when someone comes to see how beautiful Jesus is. Then everything that they thought was beautiful before isn't so beautiful anymore. It's not that important anymore when they see God in Jesus, in the man Jesus, the Savior of sinners. And so that's what we learn in this parable. That's the contents of it. Now, if Jesus doesn't give us a conclusion, He expects us to be able to come to some conclusions ourselves about the kingdom from what He's just told us. Again, there's some similarities with the previous parable. We see that some seek the kingdom, some the kingdom just kind of comes upon them. They're not looking, and all of a sudden it's there. But in both cases, we see that Jesus is the true treasure. Paul could say in Colossians 2:3, in Him, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Apostle Paul could say that through His poverty, we have become rich. You see, Jesus, before He came to earth, was with the Father in heavenly glory and had been there from all eternity. So in that sense, He had to humble Himself. He had to become like a pauper, like a poor man to come live on earth. He was willing to do that. He was willing to die the death of a notorious criminal to undergo what only the worst of criminals would have to undergo under Roman law. And he did it so that he might pay the price for the sins of his people. You see, Peter could tell the disciples that he wrote to in 1 Peter that they came to a living stone. He says this living stone, this one that's the cornerstone of the church, is chosen of God and precious. He says he's precious to you. But he goes on to say he's a rock of stumbling to the Jews who don't believe. He says to the Jews that don't believe, they were expecting a Savior to come and bring in the kingdom of God right then and there to cause Israel to be a sovereign nation once again, to be a conqueror, physically conquering and dominating the world at that time. But the Messiah that the Father had chosen to send was the Messiah that would come and would die the death of a lowly criminal and gain the victory for His people through that death. And so He's precious to us, but a rock of stumbling to many. And He is to all those who have yet to see their sin as it really is in light of God's holiness. He's still a rock of stumbling for all those who haven't seen God's beauty in Christ's face and who have yet to have a new heart to embrace Christ by faith. You see, grace can't be purchased. We can't buy God's grace. God tells us through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55, it is without money and it's without price. And yet He tells us to buy it. Yet we have to do something, but we can't do anything. How can that be? Because faith is a gift of God. It's not a work. It's not something we can earn God's favor for. Faith is reaching out of ourselves to someone else. That someone else in His work being Christ. That's why the act of faith is that one thing that's not a work. It can't be a work. Everything else would be a work. Everything else would be as though we were owed it by God. But faith is reaching out to Christ, recognizing that it's God who's paying Christ, fulfilling His promise to Christ to give Him His people upon His work on the cross. You see, Paul, once he met with Christ on the Damascus Road, all of a sudden didn't care a whole lot about who he was as a Jew. Before, he thought that was very important. He had a slick resume. He knew it. He could repeat it. What tribe he was in, how great of a Pharisee he was, how zealous he was. But once he met with Jesus, the crucified but exalted Savior, he knew that that was all dung in comparison to Christ. Moses made that same determination in the Old Testament. He was raised in the palace of the Egyptians. He could have had anything he wanted. All the pleasures of the sins of Egypt were available to him. And Paul tells us in Hebrews 10 that he chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to have all the pleasures of the sins of Egypt. And we're told he did it because he saw Christ. In the Old Testament, he knew that his deliverance would only come through the Messiah that was promised to Adam and Eve immediately after the fall, that would crush the head of the serpent through his sacrificial death. So that's what we learn in this parable, that we must be like this merchant, that we must be like this man that finds the treasure in the ground. We must be willing to give up all, to devalue everything that we thought was important before because of the great value we see in Christ Himself. You see, the rich young ruler didn't come to that conclusion. The rich young ruler came and asked Christ, what must he do to have eternal life? That man was rich. Well, so was Job. So was Abraham. So was Joseph of Arimathea, who we're told in the gospel waited for the kingdom of heaven. He was a Christian before Jesus got there. Before he'd ever heard Jesus, he was believing in the Messiah. He was waiting for Messiah. He believed in Messiah before he knew the Messiah with his eyes. He had already known him by faith. So it wasn't the fact that the rich young ruler had to pay for the kingdom of God by giving up everything, but that was his idol. That's what he valued. And so Jesus hits him right there. Jesus knew his heart. He says, you're going to demonstrate repentance by valuing my kingdom more than your things. And he was unwilling to sell. It was like the man, it would be like the man seeking the pearls who found the great pearl and said, I really like these little stones I'm collecting. I'd really rather have this little stone collection than have this valuable pearl. That's what the rich young ruler did. He had nothing. But he thought it was everything. Everything was right there in front of him, telling him, get rid of all that junk, you can have me. And he turned down everything. He turned down Jesus for a little rock collection, for a few marbles. What a fool. What a fool. Don't be a fool. Believe in the pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you believed on Him in the past for forgiveness of sins, believe on Him for the forgiveness of your sins afresh today. And if you've never believed on Him, believe on Him today while He may be found. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of needy sinners.